Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight, the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Retall. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.
Okay, the comics we're going to be talking about in this episode are out of the October 2008 previews, and these should start showing up in comic book stores around February.
Yep, and I don't know, I had a relatively light month, although that's somewhat typical of this time of year. Summertime sees a lot more things coming, and then around winter and in the Christmas time area, I think we're a little lighter. Something else of note is that there's a lot of books that seem to be ending this month and miniseries that are ending, and that's either they're being canceled for, you know, whatever reason, like Blue Beetle, and then other ones like in the Batman family are being canceled, or they're going to be coming up with new books, and I'm really going to be curious as to what my list looks like next month.
Yeah, same here, because I'm in the process of trying to just cut back on what I'm getting for a number of reasons. Partially, I'm just starting to run out of space where I put the books. Partially, I'm getting too many, and it's hard to keep up on reading the new books every week. And there's also a few financial constraints going on. So with a lot of these things ending, it's good jumping off points for me, and I'm starting to take a lot more advantage of that than I used to. So it comes down to what a DC and Marvel replace some of these ending, you know, monthly and limited series titles with, and do I feel I need to read those?
Right, and a lot of that's going to have to do with, you know, A, how compelling does the idea look, and then also, what's the track record of the creative team associated with it?
Yeah, well, and what I'm finding is, just for my own reading habits, I'm starting to cut a lot more of the independent titles and stuff, just because, you know, I like the DC and Marvel universes and stuff like that, but I will probably wind up making a couple of cuts in those areas, too.
Yeah, and I'm finding I get actually a little more than a third of my books or my items are coming from non-Marvel and DC at this point. That's an interesting thing. I get actually quite a few Image books I'm finding. You know, outside of Marvel and DC, I'm getting 12 things from Image, which is pretty decent number, and I'm getting about 25 items from outside of that, and I've got about 15, you know, just those lead figurines and Bowen busts and things like that that are not comics at all.
Yeah.
So we ready to go? Our first contributor this month is Chris Johnson, late of the Amazing Spider cast, but we haven't seen the Amazing Spider cast in a while, and he does have a blog now called I Believe in Batmite. So that's something to check out, and that's what we're going to put the link in the show notes to, his I Believe in Batmite blog. So give that a check, and let's listen to Chris Johnson's first selection for this month.
Hey, Comic Book Page podcast listeners, this is Chris Johnson with a previews pick that appears on page 43 of the December previews. And that pick is The Goon, Volume 7, A Place of Heartache and Grief by Eric Powell. Now, if you're not familiar with The Goon, the basic premise is it's just a really strong guy punching his way through wave after wave of the undead. That's, you know, the basic premise. And, of course, there's a lot more to that. It's always been an extremely just hysterical book, but recently Eric Powell's taken it in a more serious direction. Originally, The Goon was bi-monthly, but for the past year, it's been coming out every month, and this trade collects the first half of that, this year-long story arc, taking The Goon in a more serious direction with a lot of ramifications for the series. It's one of my favorite series that's currently being published. If you haven't tried before, I highly suggest giving The Goon Volume 1 Nothing But Misery a shot. Dark Horse is reoffering all the trades this month, given my highest recommendation.
All right, and I actually read The Goon in the collected format myself, and I like it quite a lot. So if you like what I think Chris gave a really good description of the series, if that sounds good to you, you might give it a try. Our next book that we've got coming up is in the DC section on page 55, and actually not on page 55, it's on page
66.
66. Well, you know, 55 is like 66, somewhat.
Okay.
That's when we make, yeah, it's two fives, two sixes, and when I make a typo in the show notes, you know, these things happen.
Hey, at least you're consistent.
And it's a Batman number 686, or 585, as I like to call it. So this is after the Batman RIP arc, and it's quite interesting because it's Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader, and it's written by Neil Gaiman, and I'm going to assume that it's going to be somewhat like Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow when they did a reboot on the Superman franchise, and Alan Moore, who was, you know, the big British writer, came in and did a two-part story. And here we have Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader, and we've got another very popular, very well-respected British writer, Neil Gaiman, coming in to do this two-issue arc with art by Andy Kubert and Scott Williams. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how this one's going to go. This is running in Batman 686 and Detective Comics 853, both out here in February. These are $3.99 a piece. They're both extra size issues, 48 pages, which probably means about 30 to 32 story pages in each one. But we have put in for the comic book page special discounted DCBS on Batman 686. So that book is going to be 50% off for you. And next up, we've got Mike Myers from DC Noise and Geek Brunch, who's going to be talking about a book on page 85.
Hi, this is Mike Myers from the Geek Brunch and DC Noise podcast. I'm here to plug one book this month. I'd like to plug a lot more, I just didn't have time. But I'd like to plug Rebels number one, written by Tony Bedard, who did Negation, and art is and covers by Andy Clark. And there's also a variant cover available by Andy Clark. The blurb reads, "The future is now. In this all-new monthly series, Brainiac 2 is hunted man. His cosmic police force safeguarded over 80 worlds until a mysterious adversary suddenly seized control. Now Vril Dox must recruit a new team to win back his command and free countless billions. But this time he's based his new group on the greatest heroes and villains of the 31st century, guest starring Supergirl and the Legion of Superheroes." I'm really excited for this book. This book meant a lot to me, and it started off from Legion, and Legion stood for Licensed Extra Governmental Interstellar Operatives Network, and it was kicked off from the Invasion series, and that series ran for quite some time, around like 70 issues, and it was like Legion 89 through 94 or something like that, and it ran for a couple annuals, and Vril Dox is the son of Brainiac, and that's already interesting in itself, but his old team used to consist of Vril Dox, Stealth, Lita, Malar, Gevrin, Beck, Lobo, FaZe, Captain Comet, Lady Quark, and then later, when Vril Dox started to, he's a manipulator, so he started to do bad things. Around the time of Zero Hour, they renamed the book Rebels, Revolutionary Elite Brigade to Eradicate Legion Supremacy, and that was because of Vril's son, Lyril Dox, kind of like started to take over Legion and started to go after his father, so he became a rebel. It sounds like in this book, they're going to be on the run again. Last we saw him in the Omega Men series, and we see him briefly in the Mystery in Space, and also in the Iran-Thanagar War. We see Vril Dox, and he's still in Legion, so somehow they're going to probably kick him out of Legion, and they'll be on the run again, and it looks like it's has a new interesting team, and you can see that team on page 85. Please give it a try. I think it's going to be really good for those of you that are Legion fans or Rebels fans. I think you're going to really enjoy this. Thanks a lot, and check out Geek Brunch and DC Noise podcast. You can see DC Noise at www.dc-noise.blogspot.com, and Geek Brunch is at www.geekbrunchpodcast.com. And thanks again, Bob and Job, for letting me plug this book. Talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah, I was a big fan of both the Legion and the Rebels series back in the day, and looking forward to them starting back up with Rebels. And we've got an interview with Tony Bedard, the writer of this series, in the episode that'll go up on Friday. And we also put in for an extra discount on this through DCBS, and they've got it at 75% off. So kind of hard to go wrong with that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how this relaunch of this title goes. I've always liked Vril Dox. He's kind of a real jerk, but, you know, it makes an interesting character to write, I think, for Tony and for us to read.
Well, and I'm real curious how this Validus-looking character is going to play in, too, on this cover.
Right.
So, should be fun all the way around. Now, on the next page, on page 86, is another item we put in for a comic book page discount with DCBS. It's at 50% off there, and that's Secret 6, number 6. Now, this is one of the many things this month that's got a Origin and Omens backup story, and this is some of the stuff they're using to, I believe, build up to the Darkest Night stuff that's going to happen later in the year. And this series has gotten off to a really good start with a really creepy villain for these guys to go up against. And of course, the Secret Six is a bunch of villains that are kind of, sort of, but not quite reformed. They're more mercenary stuff, kind of, you know, walking the fence between good and evil. I mean, they're still, you know, who they are. And with Deadshot, I mean, you're never going to get too heroic with that. But, you know, it's a lot of fun, and it makes for a very different kind of a team book than any other DC team out there at the moment. And part of it with this issue is they're going to have to head over to Gotham City. And, of course, that city is a little bit different these days because Batman's not around. So should be a fun issue. Definitely worth checking out. I think Gail Simone's doing some great writing. And, of course, the art by Nicola Scott is just amazing. Next up, we've got another pick from Chris Johnson. Let's listen to that.
Hey, Comic Book Page podcast listeners. This is Chris Johnson with a previews pick that appears on page 90 of the December previews. And that pick is the DC Comics Classics Library Batman the Annuals hardcover. Now this hardcover, the latest in the DC Comics Classics line, collects the first three Batman annuals, which were actually reprints of earlier Batman stories, a couple from the 40s, but most of them were from the 50s. During this period, they didn't have full-length stories. And they're about 10 pages each, and each annual collects about 8 of them. So you're getting about 24 stories all together in the hardcover. The 50s period of Batman is often, you know, ridiculed for the space aliens and just the overall zaniness of everything. But if you set aside the Dark Knight for a little bit, they can just be really fun comic book stories. And also, the DC Comics Classics Library hardcovers have been kind of sporadic in their page count. The Superman Kryptonite Nevermore hardcover was 192 pages. The Life and Death of Feralad was 120. Both of those were priced at $40. This hardcover is 256 pages. So out of all the Classics Library's hardcovers that have come out so far, this definitely has the best bang for your buck.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm actually looking – well, I have almost all of those Batman annuals, so I'll probably skip picking up this one. But if you like that old Batman stuff, that's certainly a book to check out. And, you know, even though it's reprints of reprints, you know, people say that, well, it's reprints of reprints. Well, even so, those stories, I don't believe, have been reprinted since, you know, around the 60s or so. So it's been a really long time since most of those stories have been reprinted, and they're reprints themselves of stories back in the 50s. So these are Batman stories that are just not laying around to get, and to buy the originals is really, really expensive. So you're still getting a pretty decent deal there on this. Our next up, we've got title from Vertigo called Air, and it's issue number 7. It is a new jumping on point. This is a very interesting story, very kind of like psychological thriller kind of stuff. And we have this stewardess named Blythe. She's traveled to a country that doesn't exist. She's got all kinds of interesting things going on. And this jumping on point, the regular size, 22 pages of story for only a buck. And our special discount through DCBS on this is 75% off. So you can get this full-size comic if you're a DCBS customer for a quarter. Even for a buck, that's a good price. But, you know, if you are working with DCBS and you don't order this, you're nuts. I officially deem you nuts because it's a quarter. So pick it up, check it out, read it. And, you know, for a quarter, you can't go wrong on this because it's, you know, an entire issue full of story we've got going on here. With that, I'm going to throw it on to one of our most prolific and regular contributors, Damien from the Cryptographic Podcast. And let's hear what he's got going on for his first pick this month.
Hey guys, it's Damien here from the soon-to-be-returning Cryptographic, and welcome to Heavenside. And this is my first pick for the month, which is going to be Transmetropolitan Volume 1, Back on the Streets. Now, I've actually been a fan of this book since it originally came out with the Helix titles, actually. And then it went over to the Vertigo titles. It's one of the few of the actual Helix ones that survived through. It was written by Warren Ellis, and yeah, this is basically the new additions of what they did with the trades. So instead of having a trade of 4 issues, they've actually made it a trade of 6 issues. And it's the story of Spider Jerusalem coming out of his self-imposed exile to come back and, you know, see what's happened with the world and go on with his reporting ways. Now, a lot of people viewed this as, you know, Warren Ellis' view on what was happening in the day and things like that. So if you're interested in sort of what he was, you know, what questions he was actually asking back in the 90s when this really came out, this is a great book. You know, if you've ever read anything from Warren Ellis but you wanted to see some of the highlights of his career, this Transmetropolitan is one of them. So with the new trades coming out, but they've been coming for a while now, so we had a mention of those, I think it was at San Diego, if not the year just gone past, but the one before that. So, you know, really, if you haven't seen these, grab them. I've loved them. I had the issues. I've got most of the trades. And, you know, I love this book. You know, it's like the original incarnation of what Dr. Sleepless was in, you know, set in that time period. So if you haven't checked it, you know, go grab this one. It's a good point to jump on because it's the new volume one. You don't have to worry about having mismatched trades or anything like that when the new ones come out and the old ones sort of have gone out of print. Okay, back to Bob and John.
I'll throw my recommendation on Transmetropolitan also. It's kind of like, what if Hunter S. Thompson was just like this really psycho, crazy guy with tattoos all over himself, and it was set in the future. You know, it's just, he's a journalist, but he's a real gonzo journalist and real take things into his own hands. It's one of the prototypical Vertigo books, and I've always really enjoyed it. So this is something that if you haven't read it before, you could find out about it on the web, see if it sounds like something that you like. You know, from the description Damien just gave is a good one, what I just said, and, you know, give this one a try. I don't think you can go wrong. If you like other Vertigo stuff, if you like that kind of more twisted take on comics, I think this will be right up your alley. And speaking of that, we're going to move into Image Comics on page 140. And we've got Steven Siegel, who has done Vertigo comics in the past. He did a run on House of Secrets, to name one. And he has got a new miniseries here from Image Comics called Soul Kiss. And this one is the story of a woman with vengeance on her mind and damnation on her lips. A deal with the devil goes bad, and a production assistant, Lily Bloom, strikes a deal with the devil to save her boyfriend. Lily must deliver 10 innocent souls to hell by sealing their fates with a kiss. So they've got 4 pages of art here on page 141 of the previews catalog. It's kind of a nice, somewhat abstracted painted style, kind of goes between kind of a Patrick Nagel style and almost a little cleaner Ben Templesmith type of style, but I like it. I'm going to give this a try, and this is something that we put in for a special discount. You'll be able to pick this up for 50% off if you're with DCBS. And next, I'm going to hand it back to John to talk about another book that we've recommended for a special discount.
Yeah, we've got a number of things this time around from Image, and what's interesting is they all seem to be number ones. So good jumping on month for Image. And our next item is on page 148, and that's the first issue of Amber Adams. We've got a comic book page discount of 50% through DCBS. And we talked with the creator, writer, and artist of Amber Adams, of Kelly Yates. And we'll have that on our episode on Friday. And this is basically looking to be a good science fiction, you know, action adventure type story. You know, the whole jetpack and ray gun, you know, kind of slice of sci-fi. They've got a couple of sample pages and stuff on page 149 of the previews catalog, and this just looks to be, you know, a lot of fun, good, like I said, action adventure thing. And again, 50% off. It's got a cover price of $3.50, so definitely worth checking out.
Right. And the next book, just on the very next page after the preview there, on page 150 of the previews catalog, we've got a book called Jersey Gods. It's a story by Glenn Brunswick and art by Dan McDade. Now, I first read a six-page story of this. It was in a backup in a recent issue of Invincible, and it was really fun. It was basically, it's like a god has married some lady, and he's living in suburban New Jersey, and it's kind of, you know, what happens when you got the neighbors over or something, and you know, a bunch of these other gods come over also. You know, what's a girl to do? You know, she marries this god of war, and, you know, you have a bunch of these gods showing up. You got regular suburban people hanging around. And it was just a really fun six-page story. They've got a four-page sample preview here on page 151. But really, that six-page preview, this in Invincible, the four pages here, really sold me on the book. They did a really good job of marketing this one. And I'm looking forward to trying this one out when it comes out in February.
Now, the next item we've got is on page 167, and this is from Shadowline, and we've also got it at a 50% discount through DCBS, and it's the first issue of Incredible Journey. This is a three-issue miniseries written by the winner of the Who Wants to Create a Superheroine contest. And they've got a couple of sample pages of art, and it looks pretty good. The concept is about this girl who always dreams of being a superhero, but when she finds this ancient amulet that steals the hero's power and may have caused their death, she finds herself kind of, you know, on the run from the heroes she always wanted to be a part of. So it looks to be a interesting kind of a take on the, you know, hey, you want to be part of the superhero, you know, crowd or whatever, and, well, you know, be careful how you join that crowd. So it looks like a lot of fun, and, you know, again, three-issue series from the winner of Who Wants to Create a Superheroine contest. I have been getting the one by the person who came in, like, as a runner-up for that contest, and that was I Hate Gallant Girl, and that's been pretty good. So if that's any indication of the quality of this, this should be definitely a good read.
Yep, and the next one we've got coming up is on page 168, also from Shadowline, and this is called Johnny Monster, number one. It's by Joshua Williamson, art by J.C. Grand. Now, you might recognize Josh Williamson's name. He is the creator of Necessary Evil, a book that John and I both quite enjoy, and we've talked about it on the weekly Comic Spotlight a couple of times. We interviewed Josh about Johnny Monster. That is, again, going to also be on our Friday interview episode coming up in a couple of days here, and had a good time talking to him. I'll just give you a really brief recap on the character right now, and then you can get a much more in-depth discussion about it if you listen on Friday. But Johnny Monster is the world's foremost superstar monster hunter. But what the world doesn't know is that he was raised by the same monsters that he's hunting. Now, in order to save his adoptive family, those monsters, he has to fight them. And this is an all-ages book. It's got big, giant monsters duking it out. You got this guy who can talk to the monsters, and it's nice all-ages book. It looks like it's going to be tremendous fun, And I am going to give Josh whatever benefit of the doubt I can in any event, because I love Necessary Evil. So this is definitely something to give a look-see. And we've got a special discount coming on this one. Again, 50% off. So you can try this one out. It won't cost you that much. So next up, we're going to pop back to Damien, who is going to talk about a Top Cow book.
Hey guys, it's Damien back again with my next pick for this month, which is going to, of course, come from the Top Cow selection. And as anyone who knows me will know, it's actually going to be The Darkness number 75. Now, I see you actually wondering, why is this number 75? I thought that only just started a new run. Well, literally, because this is the 75th issue that's actually been done over all three series. They're actually changing the actual numbering just for this issue to be 75. To be honest, I don't understand the reasoning for it, but it is a landmark here for it, so, you know, who am I to complain about it? It's actually coming with four covers, and to be honest, I always love getting the I'm going to butcher his name just so you know it. It is the Stepan Sajuk cover, and his artwork has just inspired so, you know, so much more. You see all his stuff on Witchblade as well. He just does fantastic work, but that's the cover I'm really choosing if you have a choice of choosing one of them. Yeah, pick it up. It's a awesome book. Phil Hester's been doing wonders with it, and it's a 48-page book as well, so you're getting your money's worth with this one as well. I know it's a $4.99 book, but for, you know, double the page count, or a bit more than double the page count, it's worthwhile as far as I'm concerned. Okay, then, I'll let you go back to the guys.
Okay, that takes us into the Marvel previews for this. And, you know, it's funny he mentions how they're renumbering that issue of Darkness just for the one, you know? Because that's the kind of thing Marvel does a lot. Now, the other thing I want to mention before we get into some of the clips and stuff from Marvel is when you're looking through the Marvel previews catalog, pay attention to the art they show. There are a couple of places where they're showing art from a different product than what you might think it is. I noticed that in particular on the Agents of Atlas one. So you might want to, again, pay a little attention as to what art you're seeing and if it's really the art you're going to be getting in the books. But our first pick from Marvel is on this Agents of Atlas series by Chris Johnson, the clip that is. Let's listen to that.
Hey, Comic Book Page podcast listeners. This is Chris Johnson with a previews pick that appears on page 13 of the Marvel previews for December. And that pick is Agents of Atlas, number one. Now, the first six-issue mini of Agents of Atlas from a couple of years ago was just an absolute blast. A ton of fun, great art, and I'm really just pumped that Marvel is giving Agents of Atlas an ongoing series. Now, it looks like they're going to be involved in the after effects of Secret Invasion because there's that wonderful classified in the solicit. Of course, the Dark Reign previews has come out, but in case people haven't read the last issue of Secret Invasion yet, I'm not going to spoil what their involvement in the post-Secret Invasion world might be. What I will say is if you're looking for some fun comic book adventure, I'm willing to bet that Agents of Atlas is going to deliver on that in spades.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the miniseries for Agents of Atlas. It was some really interesting stuff, and the hardcover they did included the first issue that all of these characters appeared in, so it was a really good deal. So this definitely looks to be a series worth checking out. And we've got that at a 50% discount through DCBS. Another item we've got at a 50% discount through GCBS is on page 32 of the Marvel catalog, and that's Captain Britain in MI-13, number 10. And this has just been a really good series since it started. I think it's one of the stronger launches that Marvel's had in a little while, and I thought it played into the Secret Invasion stuff really well, which is coming out when it launched, yet also, you know, established its own identity. And they had a recent guest star of Blade, and that had some interesting kind of ramifications and stuff for one of the team members. And this time, if a vampire hunter wasn't enough, we get the big bad vampire himself, of Dracula. So they're doing some really cool stuff. If you're a fan of Captain Britain, of some of the old Invader characters, Pete Wisdom, or some of the other, you know, Excalibur-related characters, and certainly the Black Knight, which is a character I particularly like reading about, this is a great series to check out. It's got some amazing art by Leonard Kirk, and Paul Cornell is just doing some great writing. This is one that I think a lot of people just are not noticing on the racks, and is definitely worth checking out. Now, next up, we've got a pick from Hassan, and I apologize for the audio quality on this. I tried to clean it up, but it's a little scratchy.
Hi, this is Hassan from the forum. My recommendation is Daredevil 116, which is written by Ed Brubaker, art by David Aja. You can find this book on page 38 of your Marvel's previous catalog. It's being billed as the prelude to the Return of the King story arc. Now, we're not talking about Hobbits, we're talking about Return of the Kingpin. And in the solicitations, they say somehow this will link to the Lady Bullseye storyline that's going on in Daredevil, which is fantastic as well. This is one of my favorite books. It's one of my favorite Marvel books. It's one of my favorite superhero books. It's one of my favorite comic books, period. And it has a guest artist, David Aja, who was wonderful on Iron Fist. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I highly recommend this book.
I love Daredevil, so, you know, any opportunity to jump onto this book, you know, with the new story arc is highly recommended.
Yeah, Brubaker's just doing some great stuff there. And one more title I want to mention from Marvel that we got a 50% discount on through DCBS is Incredible Hercules 126. This is written by Fred Van Lente and Greg Pak. And I've been enjoying the Hercules stuff since it kind of took over what had been the Hulk title. This is a $3.99 issue, but it is double-sized at 48 pages. And they're saying it's a great jumping-on point. And for the first time in Marvel continuity, we get the origin of Hercules, which should be pretty interesting to, because I'm half expecting it's going to be his spin on his origin. But who knows, it may not be. They've been telling some really fun stories there, and there's a backup feature, I think, with the aftermath of the Skrull invasion and how Amadeus Cho goes on a quest for Kirby, his pet dog, or maybe it's a wolf.
It's a wolf cub.
Yeah, wolf cub. He passes it off as a dog. It's close enough.
Well, yeah. Until it gets a little bigger.
Yeah, well.
Starts chasing down caribou and such.
But this is a fun title. It's been really good. And while it was kind of a backdoor way for Hercules to get his own series by kind of taking over somebody else's, I'm glad they did that. And, you know, it's given Hercules a chance to, you know, get in the limelight, which he hasn't had for a while.
And next up, we've got Runaways number 7. Now, this is an interesting title because I've always liked Runaways. This was a real point of conflict for me because while I love Runaways, it had originally been done by Brian K. Vaughan. Joss Whedon, I think, did Joss Whedon do a stint on it?
Yeah, he did a six-issue arc or whatever.
And then they switched over. They restarted at number one and put Terry Moore on writing it, which I love Terry Moore. He does great work on Echo. He did the tremendous Strangers in Paradise, but they put Humberto Ramos on as the artist. And anyone who listens to the show regularly knows I'm not the biggest Humberto Ramos fan in the world, at least not when he's doing mainstream Marvel or DC comics. His style, for me, I'm fine with it out on more of an indie type of book, but it doesn't meld with the Marvel Universe. Now, that's neither here nor there because issue number 7 is a new story arc and they are replacing Humberto, even though he's still doing the cover, with Takeshi Miyazawa. And Takeshi Miyazawa has done Runaways before and done quite a nice job on it. So it's a jumping on point, and that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to be jumping on with issue number 7. We've got a special discount on this book. It's 50% off. If you have ever liked Runaways before and maybe for whatever reason, like me, or for other reasons, didn't jump into this when they restarted the numbering, this is a good point to re-engage yourself with Runaways. And next up, we're going to move back into the main previews catalog. Page 232, we're fast-forwarding into the Devil's Due Publications area, and they've got a what looks to be a fun new title called The Zombies That Ate the World. In Los Angeles, in the year 2064, the world has changed. The dead have risen and corpses live again. Well, that sounds pretty familiar for zombie ones. But this one is a black comedic saga with a zombie apocalypse like you've never seen before engulfing the City of Angels. Now, I live in Southern California, so seeing a near future zombie apocalypse hitting my hometown, I got to see that. Plus, the art is by Guy Davis, who some of you might be familiar with if you saw Raketo when it came out. And I just like his style. It's a little cartoony, a little quirky, but it goes good with something that's kind of a black comedy, in my opinion. So I'm really looking forward to this one. I like a zombie book, but you can kind of get like maybe a lighthearted black comedy zombie book. It's going to be a little different from the other zombie books out on the market, but I'm going to give this one a try in any event and see what this one's like, because again, I really like Guy Davis's art.
Now, jumping forward to the Dynamite Entertainment section, we've got a first issue of Masquerade number 1. This is part of the Project Superpowers line of titles. We've got this at a 50% discount through DCBS, and I am just loving pretty much everything they're doing with the Project Superpowers line, and I'm really looking forward to this four-issue miniseries kind of exploring the origin of Masquerade and, you know, hopefully giving a little context to how she's fitting into the current day stuff in the Project Superpowers stuff. This is, of course, you know, the whole line of stuff out of the mind of Alex Ross, and it's got a good kind of golden age set of characters with kind of a modern, you know, spin or whatever in context, with almost an 80s storytelling vibe to it in a good way. So, you know, we've covered this actually a few times. We've talked about Black Terror on a recent Weekly Comics Spotlight. We also touched on some of the Project Superpower characters in a Golden Age roundtable we did with Chris Marshall. So this is something I definitely think is worth checking out. And again, we've got it at a 50% discount, and it's on page 240 of the previews catalog. Now, next up on the following page, on 242, we've got a submission from Damien.
Hey guys, it's Damien back again with something that's really jumped out at me this month, which is something I don't normally sort of get into. I'm not that big of a Western fan, but Dead Irons on page 242 is one that's really sort of jumped out at me as something that's a little bit different, and you know, knowing me, and you've probably been hearing me on last, 13 or 14 of these shows, that I always go for the supernatural sort of elements. A lot of those ones are what really jumps out at me, and this is one that does it. It's set in the Western area where we've got actually bounty hunter siblings who are literally traveling by moonlight, ripping criminals, screaming for mercy from their hiding place, and literally they're bringing the bounties in. They've usually been drained of blood, and, you know, they take their money and take it in gold, but not silver. So, you know, there's some interesting elements there you can sort of pick on. That goes through a family curse that goes through there. It's actually going to be a three-part miniseries as well. So, and the cover art and art direction is done by Jay Lee as well. So, hey, you know, you can't go wrong with it. Issue 1's 32 pages. Cardstock covers, but they're all soon to be coming at that these days. And it's $3.99. I reckon this is going to be interesting to have a look at. So, but it's only supposed to be three issues. So, hey, let's have a look at it and see how it goes. Okay, back to the guys.
All right. And we're going to jump forward just a couple of pages to something Dynamite is putting out on page 245 that appears that they have picked up from the defunct Virgin Comics. Now, Virgin, they did a tremendously good Dan Dare series with art by Gary Erskine. It was written by Garth Ennis. It was a 7-issue series. So the 7th issue was double size, so about 8 issues of material. And Virgin was licensing the Dan Dare character anyway, so I believe that the license has just moved over to Dynamite, and they're putting out a nice oversized omnibus hardcover of the entire run that Virgin Comics put out. And the regular price is $29.99 on this. We've got a special discount here, 50% off. So for $15, you can get this nice hardcover presenting this entire story. And if you have not read this, this is a tremendously entertaining story, and I highly recommend it. And it's a great price. So if you didn't pick up those Dan Dare comics when they came out from Virgin, this is some place where you can pick this up all under one cover and have it for your bookshelf.
Yeah, I second that recommendation entirely. This was an excellent series, and to get it all in a hardcover for, you know, $15 through DCBS, how can you go wrong with that?
Yeah, I mean, basically eight issues, rather, for $15, you're paying less than $2 an issue for a hardcover material. That's a great deal.
Well, and the part I'm really excited about is they call it a Volume 1, which implies we're going to get more Dan Dare. This was just some great stories, and I really do hope they continue with it.
Yeah, and since Dynamite does do a lot of licensed properties, it would be really nice if Dynamite picked up, and Dynamite has, you know, some great creators too. So it'd be nice if they picked up the Dan Dare property and started doing this.
Yeah.
Next up on page 270 is my back issue Bible for any of you who listen to the back issue spotlight and hear about all these back issues that I'm buying all the time. What do I use as my Bible to figure out how much I should pay for these books? That is the Overstreet Comic Book Price Guide. And we've got the new 2009 volume 39 coming out, and it's $35 for the hardcover, $29.95 for the soft cover. I always get the hardcover because I'm paging through the thing all the time, and it just keeps it durable. And I like to base my purchases off of the Overstreet price. And, you know, places like mycomicshop.com, they pretty much price strictly against Overstreet. And when I'm buying off of eBay or any place else, I just have notes to myself of what the Overstreet values are so that I know to pay Overstreet or less for any of my back issue purchases. Anyway, we've got two covers this year. Every year they have two different cover images that are basically reinterpretations of a classic thing from comics. And they have a John K. Snyder cover of Avengers number one, and then a Murphy Anderson cover representing All Select Comics number one with the Cap, Human Torch, and Submariner Invaders from the 40s. So something really nice. If you've never picked up an Overstreet guide before, it's more than just prices, because there's articles in there about collecting. There's just a tremendous amount of information in this thing, and it's an essential reference tome if you're going to be serious at all about picking up back issue comics.
Well, and one of the things I find handy about the Overstreet guide is, particularly these days when they keep reusing titles and stuff. I mean, we're on the fifth volume of Captain America. I've lost track of, you know, the different variations of Spectacular Spider-Man, of, you know, Peter Parker, Spectacular Spider-Man, Spectacular Spider-Man, Peter Parker and stuff. This is kind of the go-to source to get all that, you know, cleared out and figure it's like, okay, it came out in this year, which title was it and all that. So just in terms of organizational purposes, it's really handy.
Yep. So, you know, give it some thought. There's no special discount on it. I actually didn't even notice that it was coming out until I got the previews catalog. I probably would have asked Cameron to put this one on special discount for selfish reasons, if nothing else. But you can still get it for 35% off, which is a pretty decent price to pick this thing up.
One thing to note is I believe they're printing the hardcover version to order. So if you really want the hardcover version, you might want to be sure to tell your retailer that.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, now we're back to Damian, and he's going to be talking about something from IDW Comics.
Hey guys, it's Damian here again, and for my second last pick for this month, it's going to have to be Welcome to Hoxford's trade that's coming out. Written and the art is done by Ben Templesmith. You've all seen his work before on 30 Days of Night. You've seen his covers that he's been doing for either, be it, you know, G.I. Joe or Transformers stuff even that he's got going on out there at the moment. If you want to see some of his more creative stuff, you have to read Welcome to Hoxford. It's literally about a group of, people in an insane asylum, and they're not really the ones that you have to worry about in there. The guards really can't care you, and basically it starts off about Raymond Delgado, who is the newest inmate in the actual Hoxford Correctional Facility and Mental Institution. He has no hope of release, parole, rehabilitation, or decent compensation. On a good day, he'll tell you Zeus, and then he'll bite your arm off, literally. So there is this whole, yet again, another one with supernatural elements in there where you don't know who you're getting locked up with or why they're there or anything along those lines. So if you want to read some good twisted fun, the only way that Ben Templesmith can do it, then, you know, you really need to get this trade. I picked up from the issues. It's an awesome book and I can't recommend it enough for those who want to get into this genre. Okay, then back to the guys.
Yeah, and I'm right there with Damien on this. I picked this up in the regular monthly issues. This is a great twisted dark story, and if you like Ben Templesmith's art, just more great stuff from him. Another book on that same page, Wormwood, hardcover volume 1. That's Wormwood, Gentleman Corpse. Wormwood is this little worm, and he basically possesses corpses to kind of drive around in to, you know, they're like his meat taxis. And this is a really darkly humorous, twisted, deviant story that Ben Templesmith, again, like Welcome to Hoxford, is putting together. I think Wormwood is probably my favorite work by Ben Templesmith. Now, that's something that he's writing. You know, he of course does the writing and art on Wormwood and Welcome to Hoxford. He does just the art on some things like Fell. That's a tremendous book also, but this is a book that's all Ben Templesmith. And if I had to recommend one thing by Ben Templesmith, it would be this Wormwood. So give this one a look if you haven't tried it out yet and you like his art, if you like some of these dark kind of – this is actually darkly humorous. It's not the straight horror because there's a lot of real dark humor and interesting situations that happen in this book. But give this one a try. It's a 160-page hardcover, retail of $24.99.
Okay, next up we've got a clip from Zach Cruzy from DCBS. Let's listen to that.
Hey, John and Bob. This is Zach Cruzy, the writer and co-creator of The Contingent. And as a lot of the listeners out there know, The Contingent number 1 was actually offered and through Diamond and released, officially released, the first week of December. And for those of you who picked up the book either through Diamond or maybe you got an advanced copy through DCBS or you saw me at a show and you picked up a copy there, just thank you all so much for your support and for giving the book a shot. It means a great deal to me. And, you know, maybe there's a small subset of fans and readers out there who, you know, enjoyed reading the book while lying naked on a bearskin rug and sipping Merlot as a fire crackled romantically in the background. And maybe there's an even smaller subset of fans out there who, you know, read the book while perched upon a toadstool in a gumdrop forest as their pet unicorn gently nuzzled its head and their shoulders. And maybe there's, you know, a large subset of fans out there who just read the book and liked it. And if you fall into any one of those categories, you'll be very excited to know that The Contingent number 2 is actually available for order through Diamond with the December previews. The order code is December084164, and just sort of cutting to the chase here, let's go with the copy from the catalog. In the wake of the tragic events at the Stevens School, picking right up from issue number 1, what alarming secrets will be uncovered? And what lengths will Miguel go to in order to prevent further tragedy? Lives are forever changed as the consequences of having too much power are revealed. Don't miss out on this action packet issue. Guys, if you liked issue number 1 and you were intrigued by the cliffhanger and you're intrigued by the characters, then you're really going to enjoy issue number 2. It picks up right where we left off at the end of issue number 1. The only real difference being that we amped up the action, you know, tremendously. This is an action-packed issue. There's a great fight scene, And on top of all that, and perhaps I should say intertwined with all of that, there's a lot more character development. We get to learn a lot more about where Miguel and Richie and some of the new cast members are coming from, and you know what their thought processes are like, and where they're headed for the foreseeable future. So, if you guys like superhero comics, if you like action, if you like just reading fun, big, fun superhero comics, give The Contingent a shot. If you missed out on issue number one, don't sweat it. You can still get it. Still available. So, grab issue number one, grab issue number two, stick with us for the ride. If you guys have any thoughts, opinions, ideas, or just, you know, general things you want to tell me, you can contact me, Zach Cruzy, at thecontingent.mail@gmail.com. So, that's it for me. Check out The Contingent. I hope you like it. I think you will. Back to you, John and Bob.
I'm looking forward to it because, you know, after the first issue, we had the kind of school for special youngsters kind of thing, but at the end, it really took a side turn away from X-Men territory, and we reviewed this on the show, and I seem to recall saying something like, I really want to know where they're going to go with this after the end of that first issue, and you know, I'm going to be right back here to see what's going on with this one.
Yeah, same here. And I mean, Zach's a great guy. He knows his comics and stuff, so I'm sure we're going to get a really good comic here out of him. And you know, let's give him some support, and everyone pre-order that thing. And DCBS has that at a 50% discount, by the way, so can't beat that. Let's see, we've got another clip from Hassan. Let's listen to that.
Hi, this is Hassan again from the forum. My next recommendation is called Hotwire, Requiem for the Dead, number one. It's coming out from Radical Publishing. It's on page 298 of your previous catalog. It's a story by Warren Ellis, and it's written and drawn by Stephen Pugh, although at one point they referred to him as Stephen Pusch, actually, in a previous catalog. This, I guess, goes down to, you know, what were the editors thinking? Anyway, let me just read you a brief blurb from the solicitation. I won't read the whole thing. In the near future, the living and the dead share the same space. Most of the blue lights are harmless, witless drones, as lost in death as they were in life. But some want revenge, some want power, some even want company to join them in the ranks of the dead. Enter Alice Hotwire. Now, the reason I'm excited about this book is, well, it's a story by Warren Ellis. Even though he's not scripting the book, I really dig his sci-fi stuff. Second, Radical Publishing has been doing some really, really great stuff. And third, I mean, the covers look awesome. So it's only $2.99. It's on page 298 of Previous Catalog, and I highly recommend it. Thanks.
I'm looking forward to this, too. I like, so far, I've liked everything that Radical's come out with. Now, this is more of a supernatural kind of book, so it might not be up your alley completely, John, but, you know, I like the weird horror stuff myself, so I'm going to be on board for this one.
They've been doing some good stuff. City of Dust actually is getting a little more into the horror thing than I tend to be comfortable with, but it's still very well done. And man, the artists they throw at some of their books, amazing. So certainly you're not going to be disappointed on the art for just about anything you get from them.
Yeah, that is one place where they stand head and shoulders above a lot of their competition. I mean, they have got some spectacular art in their books.
Yeah, that was really, and I think when they started with the Hercules and the Caliber series, the art in the first issues of those was just, I mean, it set the stage for the output for that publisher. And we've got our last clip, and of course, no surprise, it's from our you know, most prolific contributor, Damien. Let's hear what he's got to say.
Hey guys, it's Damien here, and we're up to Zenoscope, and for that, you know, if I'm mentioning it, it's going to be The Living Corpse, but this time it's a bit different. It's actually The Living Corpse / Annual Number 1, a 48-page book, which is The Living Corpse Annual, and it's guest-starring Cassie and Vlad from / you know, I've been loving this book. I've recommended it every time it's actually been listed in previews. If you still haven't been picking up, hey, this is a one-shot, and most of them actually are one-shots as well. So, really, have a look at this. It's more of the cartoony style there. There is actually three covers for it. To be honest, I just get what's given to me, and that's normally the one by Ken and Buzz themselves. So, really, if you haven't checked this out, these guys do some great work. I love their books. you know, it's a great sense of humor going through there. It's about, if those of you who haven't actually heard me talking about it numerous times before, it's literally about a zombie who's realized what his past life was, so he's not the mindless zombie that he should be, and he's going around and stopping other supernatural things from, you know, tearing people apart, killing things, you name it. So really, if you haven't actually checked this before, you know, pick this one up. It's, you know, it's a one-shot. It's an annual. Grab it. It's really good. Okay, then. Talk to you guys later. And, yeah, I'll be back onto this next month. Bye.
Well, thank you for all your submissions, Damien, and the other guys who sent stuff in, particularly Chris Johnson, who managed to sneak his in right under the wire. This is probably, actually, I think, the fewest submissions we've had in a while. So we've got an open submission policy. If you guys, when you see the next previews, which really the solicitations should be hitting the online soon, send in clips. We take them, you know, as early as you want to send them up until, you know, the second Saturday after previews comes out. And we want this to have as many different viewpoints as possible and different tastes as possible. Part of what I enjoy about Damien's picks is, by and large, these are things I'm not likely to get because his interests are more in the supernatural and the horror stuff than mine. But, you know, it shows what a diverse selection of comics there are.
Yeah, and I'm a little more in sync with what Damien gets, although I don't have like a complete overlap with what he gets. But I kind of like so many different comics that when in any given month we get the different people sending in and telling us about things that really struck their fancy, it will usually lead me to seeing something and picking it up that I would not have otherwise picked up. And that's what I like about, you know, having the kind of virtual conversation through this episode with people. I like to find out about new books that I'm going to hopefully find intriguing. So how did your total come out this month, John?
Different than usual, and I want to stress this time around, this is a preliminary look at my total. Things have changed a little for me since we recorded last month's previews, and I wound up cutting a few things from my list before sending that one in, and I may do the same this time. I'm in the process of trying to pull back on my reading. I've got 120 items on my list for a retail total of $411.08 after the discount and the shipping. That comes up to $264.79, which is about a 35.6% discount, but it's also a little higher than I would like it to be, so I'm going to kind of see what I can do about trimming a few things off, maybe. How about you?
I am quite a bit lighter than last month. I came in at 132 items. A bunch of those items, and this is what really drives my total up. You know, I have quite a few items near the end of previews that are not comics. You know, they're those lead figures that go for 10 or 12 bucks a pop. I've got three Bowen busts. I've got some three different graphic audio CDs, you know, things like that. These things are kind of high-ticket items, and I, of course, have some Marvel and DC hardcovers in there too. But of my 132 items, retails $863.89. After the discount and adding in shipping, I'm $580.48. Seems like a lot, but people who listen to this every month know that's actually a relatively low total for me. What I love about it, though, is that it's a 32.8% discount off of full retail. So I'm quite happy about that. So nice light month for me, which will free up that extra money to pay for the Xbox that I got for my kids for Christmas with all the peripherals and junk that go with it.
Yeah. Well, I think regular listeners will also be thinking that mine's kind of low, and it's about half what it has been in prior months, but it's just getting to where, you know, I'm running out of space to put these. I've got a couple of financial constraints coming into play, and it's just hard to read three or four dozen comics a week. But what's going to be interesting is next month, with there's a lot of miniseries that are ending, there's a lot of ongoing titles that are ending, and, you know, I suspect when I get the next order form, if I just go through, you know, kind of the continued ongoing purchases and stuff, that in and of itself is going to wind up being a lower total than usual. But I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel kind of the same way. I'm going to be really, really curious when we get to next month what my titles are going to be, because there have been so many miniseries wrapping up, and I'm getting a lot more selective about what new miniseries I'm going to start picking up, especially from Marvel, since they tend to put most of their new miniseries at a $3.99 price for a standard 22-page comic. And I am, even though it's inevitable that prices are going to go up to that level, I'm going to continue to be irritated and resistant to that price point for at least a few more months, and will react to that by getting less of these, in my mind, overpriced miniseries.
Yeah, yeah.
The less encouragement I can give them, the better, even though it will probably not amount to a whole lot in the grand scheme of things.
Well, I think one of the things I'm going to try to get more diligent about is kind of doing that first issue challenge that you tend to do, you know, and put some of these things, you know, get that first if I'm interested, see how it goes, and hold off ordering the future issues until I've seen it.
Yeah, I find that to be a really good way of making an informed decision about a new series, because so many times I would get a first issue and it's like, well, that's okay, but it's really, you know, it's not that good, you know, and if I don't love something, I don't want to be three or four, depending on how late something is, you know, two, three, four, five issues already ordered before I even get and read the first one. And you know, the most shops, and as DCBS, and I'm sure Heroes Corner, they'll add something for you late. You know, they don't want to not get a sale, you know, of something. And it's a lot easier that way to just add something, you know, a month before it comes out, because it's still before the final order cutoff, and your shop can do the same thing. But, you know, add it to your pull list retroactively, as opposed to ordering something and then deciding not to have it. Because I don't like to do that personally. If I put an order in for something, that's a commitment from me, and I will buy the book. I don't want to leave a retailer, you know, holding something that I've made a commitment for. Although in certain extenuating circumstances, I will flex that rule. For instance, if a book is really late, or Marvel or DC has substantially changed the contents of an issue, and it's before the final order cutoff date, and I know that if I tell them that they can actually adjust their order downward, I might actually drop a book for a reason like that. But in general, I pretty much buy what I commit to.
Yeah, I can understand that. Although, you know, with Marvel going back and doing the classified solicitation stuff again, it's like, come on, guys, don't do that. And actually, the shipment I'm getting tomorrow as we record this, and a couple of, and yesterday as this gets released, is going to have the actual solicitation information for the Dark Reign stuff. And again, it's like, you know, I don't like ordering blind. It's no fun. So, anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.